Welcome to episode 61 of Justifying the F Word. That is 61 great suggestions on how to live your best life in your 40s and your 50s and beyond and before and day to day.
Are we writing a jingle?
And minute by minute.
Hour by hour, second by second.
I think it'd be like, justifying the F Word, it's the way to take all your worries of your 40s away.
Ooh, yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, Quinn missed his calling in life, you know, and
there's a lot of great things I could have done.
Well, yes, I fully agree. But our kids and myself, one day we were sitting there and we were talking about all of these great episodes of Phineas and Ferb. And I love that.
There's a lot of people here who may not know.
Yeah, you might not know. It's a Disney animated show. It is so funny. And but the songs they have in it, like, they're really good. Like, it's to the point where you're like, they get stuck
and
in
funny.
They're really funny and they're like witty and they'll stick with you. And we sing them all the time, like as a family.
I was going to say, you're not singing it right now.
I'm not.
It all the time.
I ain't got rhythm. That's from Phineas and Ferb. But anyway, we were talking and we were like, Dad missed his calling that you should have been like a jingle writer.
I have.
Or like a writer on that type of a show where it was just funny and adding in these little tidbits.
There have been moments where I make the kids sing fight with me. Like, if they want to prove their point.
But then they get so mad
We'll come up with a song. So hang with me here, crowd. It would be like a popular song that they know the music to. And then I make them make up lyrics.
Let's say like Taylor Swift's Shake It Off.
Okay.
Well,
what's the argument we're going to have?
I don't know. I was giving you a song.
So should we do like.
I am not doing this.
No. Okay. I'm just saying like I need like, so if it's like cleaning your room.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. All right. So if we're going to do this, Shake It Off.
Yeah.
Okay. It would be, I try to delegate, dun, 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 but it just complicates, dun, dun. Dun, 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 the socks on the floor. Oh, oh. I guess there's little more. Oh, oh. I don't want to clean up my room. Don't, dun, 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 because I don't have a broom. Dun, 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 dun. So I'll shut the door. Oh, oh. Show I'll shut the door. Oh, oh. Well, my parents going to complain. Plain, 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 plain. But my roommate makes me feel sane, 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 sane. And I'm just going to let it pile, 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 pile up. Pile up. Oh, oh.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I've that's see, as you guys can see, we did not rehearse. I even know, but our kids a lot of time will just look at them stunned and they've tried.
But sometimes I make them sing fight with me back. So their response would be like, I don't have time to do it.
Yeah.
So I'll throw my shoe at it. Yeah. Anyway, we could just keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a curse and a blessing.
Yeah.
It's
but Quinn can do it on like if you give him something and give him like 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, I just did that.
That's what I'm saying.
Seconds. Yeah. Although that was a little chunky.
No, it was good. I mean, you're trying to remember the lyrics to Taylor Swift at the same time.
Well, and I was trying to make it rhyme. But the point is it makes the fight that much more fun if they're having the sing back.
Yeah.
Now they won't humor me and do it. I'm like, sing fight. And they're like, no.
I'll just roll their eyes. And everyone out there is like, what is wrong with your family?
Yeah. I think it's fun.
I mean, our kids have reached a point at school, they'll tell a story and everybody will stop and be like, wait, what does like your family do?
It's like an impromptu musical.
Yeah. Like, I think one day they were talking about how, so this happens like twice a year.
The solstices?
Well, that too. It might follow the solstices. Solstices. I can't say it. Solstices. I can't say it. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, the sun stays up late.
Anyway, but Quinn, out of nowhere.
On a certain date.
Yeah, okay. Out of nowhere, twice a year, Quinn will get this like, I don't know what you want to call it.
Is it a feverish hankering for fried chicken? Because that happens about
almost
twice
like
a year
it,
too.
But you will become obsessed for like 3 days with Phantom of the Opera.
Oh.
Like, yeah. Again, and it happens only twice a year, and then literally every time they walk in, he'll sing the Christine.
Could it be? Could it be Christine?
And our daughter has said that one day she was at school and she's like, yeah, kind of like when your dad gets stuck on singing Phantom of the Opera all the time and all these people stop and they're like, what? And she's like, wait, like that, you don't have things like that happen? Like, you know when? And they're like, no.
Well, yeah, good show tunes, good show tunes. Yeah, good show tune. I don't discriminate.
Yeah.
It's like living your life in a musical.
Yeah. Like High School Musical.
No, that doesn't even count. No,
dang it. I love High School Musical.
So we've had, we've strung together. I know you guys are sick and tired of hearing of the weather, but I just want to show some positive news. We've strung together about 2 or 3 days of sunshine.
Yeah. It's been amazing.
Good for the mood. In fact, all of our kids are out. Like, our girls are out on a walk right now. Our son's out skateboarding at the neighbor's half pipe. It's
just a good day.
It's a good day.
And it's like, we've seen neighbors and it's like, we've all come, you know.
I imagine this is after like a, you know, people crawling out of air raid shelters or whatever, or, you know.
Like, is it safe?
Can we come out? Is it safe? Can we come out? Like, I don't know. And then learning how to communicate again.
Yeah.
So it's been a great couple of weeks. I've been on the road a lot for work, but we have managed to squeeze in some quite fun stuff. So we saw Muse last weekend.
Yeah. Amazing. Like, if you haven't had a chance, check them out. Like, they entertaining, you know, beginning to end.
Fantastic live.
Great stage show. Great entertainers.
Well, and speaking of great stage show, our middle daughter worked her proverbial duck butt off because she was a duck in Phantom of the Opera. Or not Phantom of the Opera.
There's a duck in Phantom of the Opera.
And Peter and the Wolf.
Yeah. So she was...
And she was on point.
Yeah. It's... The cool thing is we have three kids. All three of them are so wildly different. And it's awesome because we love to just celebrate, you know, what they're each passionate about. And our middle, she has been on point for
2 years.
2 years, yeah. Working really hard and had a solo, like, as the duck in Peter and the Wolf. And it was really fun. We got to go watch her. Just so much work went into it that even today she's like, I don't feel good. And I think it's just, you know, just so much stress and effort has gone into it, but it's just amazing to sit back, I think, as a parent and just, you know, watch your kids go out there on the, you know, on the stage or whatever it may be that they absolutely love and they put their heart in it. And it's just awesome.
Well,
to sit back and watch.
The thing I love about it is, the older we
get... Did you really put a York Mint in your mouth and then start to podcast?
Yeah, you can't hear the York Mint in my mouth.
Oh, they can. Okay, anyway.
I'm just saying, it's minty and refreshing.
And you didn't offer me one. Okay, anyway, keep going.
It's a peppermint patty.
Okay, go.
Which is different than a mint. A mint would be peppermint patty.
Okay, go.
Well, what I'm saying is, what is so fantastic about it all is when you see the kids... They really challenge themselves. And how often as adults do we challenge ourselves?
Yeah. And I'm like thinking before she went up to perform yesterday, I'm like, I would be terrified, you know, and trying to remember. I mean, I think she just without her solo in the ballet, she had 7 other dances.
Yeah. And she worked hard. I mean, it was awesome.
And so I'm like, even just the amazement of, I don't even think I'd remember what outfit I needed, you know, and it's just, you know, I am not a great dance mom. It's one of those of knowing your strength and your weakness. And I am not a good dancer. Like, I will be like, if you tell me exactly what to get, I'll get it. And that, but other than that, I'm like, it's so outside of my wheelhouse, but I love every second of supporting her.
You know. Speaking of supporting her.
Guys, I just want to let you know that it's going to be May 1st tomorrow.
Happy May Day. May you dance around the Maypole. May Day baskets.
We started this project in mid-December. So we did have the flu go through our house. So I'll give it that leeway. But one of our children She does not like sleeping downstairs. So we were like, okay, let's move rooms. And, you know,
well, and then we have our niece moving in.
Our niece is moving in. Super stoked about that. And so we have known that my niece is going to be moving in May. And so my daughter, her job, like we moved her beds, like all that stuff, painted her room. And she has had months of going through her old room. And literally today it was a full family event and we got it done. Like
my back may never be the same. There was a lot of moving. I felt like we moved a house.
Yeah. And so we have a nicknamed our daughter, the squirrel, since she was a little kid because,
or a Russian orphan.
Yeah. Cause she collects everything, everything. Like she doesn't get rid of anything, every little trinket. And it, when she was little, you'd pull back her like comforter and there would be just food or
little knickknacks or little squishy things.
So you got to just imagine what we went through, but we got it done and we are,
We're better for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like our house, like seriously, I feel like our foundation raised up like a, like it was like a rebound.
Wow. Yeah.
It was an experience. So. Episode 61. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to spin you a yarn to kick this one off.
Okay.
Okay. So the Inca Trail.
Whew. Yeah. Okay.
For those of you that have not done the Inca Trail, there are, it's spectacular and it's amazing. But if you've ever seen, Emperor's New Groove and you see how those peaks go up and down, up and down, up and down, it's a lot like that in the stairs. They were meant to run. So instead of it being...
And I think you need to emphasize that because we're thinking in a trail sense, it's a dirt hill that would go uphill. No,
they are stone stairs.
No, they, they're stone steps. And I'm 5'5", to put it perspective, is the stone, like the steps from the step to the next step was from my feet to my kneecap. It wasn't like a gentle... step.
Okay. So there's two, the second day of the Inca Trail, you go basically up and over two 14,000 foot passes.
Yeah.
And isn't one of them called the Widowmaker or something?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm doing it right at the time. I'm a strapping 22, I think something around there, 23, somewhere in that ballpark. And I'm coming up and over and I'm dying. Like I am out of breath. Dying, like Megan's there with me. She's dying. We're both like dying, right? And it is, we feel like the air is.
It is like stair stepper at the gym on crack. Like, I mean, and it's like because of the stairs, it's every step, and then, you know, you're hiking.
And then, you know, you're carrying 50, 60 pounds.
And then the weather, weather you go from it being like really cold.
To really hot.
To getting sunburnt. To like...
cold.
Cold, rainy. I mean, it's just because it's like the altitude changes so much.
So the point is it was really, really hard. And...
and it was... and so just to put it in perspective, is you hike for 4 days. Four?
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the last day, you wake up in the middle of the night so you can see the sunrise.
Overrated.
Quinn slept through it.
I was so tired by the time we got to Machu Picchu, I just laid on my backpack and slept.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
I was really tired, but I digress. So for me, getting up to the top, it was like, man, this was so difficult, right? So absolutely difficult. Now, I was gasping for air, you know, feeling like I accomplished the world. And to me, I was like, wow, that was hard. And then I look over and there's some 8-year-old kid with this basket on their head that they had trucked up the same thing selling sodas.
Yeah. And two, I don't know if it's this way anymore because we, Quinn and I did this 23 years ago. Yeah. There's guys that are doing it in rubber sandals and they have just... like propane tanks
strapped to them.
Cause you, I mean, now you have to hire a company,
like
but,
a guide company.
But we went solo. But there are, you know, these porters that would have like propane tank with just twine not twine, but like kind of rope wrapped around it to make like a makeshift.
And we're not talking like just your average, hey, you throw it under the grill. This is like double.
Yeah, like the big old ones. Yeah. And they're running. And you're sitting there just being like.
So yeah. Anyway, I get up. We both get up to the top. And there's this kid who just trucked up there and is selling sodas and beers and stuff to all the tourists at the top. And that really brought things into perspective. And I honestly, it dawned on me as I had to find the lesson, right? I had to find the lesson in that. And the lesson that I found in it was whatever I'm doing is not that hard because this kid does this every single day for a living.
Yeah.
And so kicking off today's episode, what we wanted to talk about is no matter what you experience in your life, good, bad, indifferent, is to find the lesson therein. Now, Megan.
That's my name.
Ever since we started talking about Bootylicious, and now you call somebody out by name, like, Megan,
what are we talking about? Megan, what?
Like on Destiny's Child, Bootylicious, when they all call out each other's name.
Okay,
first,
I'm like, where are we going with this? Okay, now
are you
I get
ready?
It. Yeah. I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Okay, got it.
I
was like, it was an hour ago that you said something about the song Bootylicious.
Well, I was just, anyway.
Yeah. Which, if you guys are looking for a good playlist, I have a playlist called Bootylicious for those days. So, you know.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway.
Fantastic. Anyway. So, why do you think this is such an important thing? Why is it that we've been stewing on this as a subject to talk about?
Okay. First and foremost is, you are going to fail. Your kids are going to fail. It is just a part of life. And so if you choose to walk away and let that failure define you, and I think at a point almost create a crutch in your life, and by doing that, you're not stopping and looking at the lesson. Like, what am I learning? It's sometimes hard to maneuver through that. I really think that it creates your own persona. Mm. Like, and I think we all can think of people where, you know, they failed at something and then it's just, it consumed them. And then even 20 years later, they're talking about what it could have been. And, I think that there's a lot of pressure from society to be like, you know, we got to win everything. But in reality, that's not going to happen.
Well, I can recall, I tell the story to my kids all the time.
Central Park in fall. Okay, go.
I've actually never been to Central Park. I've been to New York.
Yeah.
Did you go in the fall?
It was December.
Well, did you tear your dress?
No.
Was it a mess?
No.
Okay.
Okay, go.
All right. So I can recall, I was a pretty decent runner back in my day, and we were going into high school. And so my buddy and I went to cross country camp. And I hadn't run at all, 100% relying on natural ability. And my buddy had run that entire summer to train to get up to it. And we got there and I could tell that my natural ability was no longer good enough, that I couldn't hang. And I was getting smoked. And I remember being so mad and like, kind of like, geez, you know, like I'm better than this. Like I should be able to just get through it. And I will say probably my freshman year of high school was the first time that I realized like I had to find the lesson in what was going on. And I realized that I got smoked. I realized I got out trained, and it was, I couldn't hope that, I couldn't wish that, I couldn't pray that away. It was, I got out trained, and it was definitely a humbling moment, and almost to the point where I was like, well, I'm not going to run this whole race. I'm going to walk part of it because, you know, just like I was going to prove a point that I was like, yeah, this is stupid, right? And I deep down inside, I may not have admitted it, but I really feel like that was the first moment in my life where that clicked. Where do you think your first moment was? Where you first found the lesson? I know I'm throwing you on the spot.
No. Okay. And then I want to come back to it because there was a thought. I think mine, and definitely I think sports are an easy way to look at this, because with sports, it's win, fail. You know, it's like this. And I think for very similar, Quinn and I both grew up, sports were our life. And Quinn played hockey and running. I was just purely soccer. And
or as you would say, football, Americano. Football
is so I came out of the gate of high school really strong and was able to, you know, start games on varsity. I was ranked like number one in the state. And I remember my senior year, there was a girl that came out and she was a freshman and I wanted to hate her because she benched me. And I remember sitting there and I just wanted to give every excuse. And, you know, I wanted to turn to everybody and be like, can you believe Annie's doing? I even remember her name. Like, can you believe she's doing it? And I remember
blaming it on the coach.
Yeah. Just kind of like, oh, he has a chip on his shoulder. And I think what I was going to say after yours and a tie into mine is the first step in the lesson is self-reflection. And for me, it was, I remember going home being like, oh, my coach. Rah, rah, rah. And I had a moment of stopping of saying, my heart's not in it. Mm. And I almost looked at her and I'm like, that is me 3 years ago. And I wanted it. I was hungry. I fought for it. And here I am complacent. I'm not working hard. I don't deserve to be the one starting. And I had to realize that, yeah, like it was because of me. But the first step in anything when you fail is to have self-reflection. If that is with your job, whatever it may be.
Relationships.
Yeah, relationships. Because I always tell our kids this, no matter good or bad, you play a part in everything. Every relationship you have, the way you decide to act. And yes, someone could
okay,
be more.
Can I cut you off?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, go for it.
When you say you play a part in everything, I do believe a lot of, I know I did. So I think a lot of people first reconcile that with something bad.
Yeah. And
meaning
that's
like meaning a failure, meaning a failed relationship, meaning a failed job where you play a part that also goes to whatever positive happens in your life. So, for example,
think about like your relationships with your spouse, your partner. When you have like that joy and you guys are so in sync together,
you're playing a part too.
You yeah. play a part. And when you decide that you guys start drifting away or having conflict,
you play a part.
It's not always bad. Good or bad, you play a
success
part.
Success or failure.
Yeah. Your reactions, the way you treat people, the how much you put into something, how little you put into something, you play a part no matter what. And that is the first and foremost. Once you can look at that, you're going to realize like, hey, maybe I might not react that way.
I can't remember what self-help book it was that I read, but it was one that they were talking about this exact same issue. And they're saying, even if you get mugged, right? Even if you get mugged, somebody pulls a gun on you, you play a part on how you're going to react to that mugging. Do you fight back? Do you hand your wallet over? Like you're always, no matter what the situation is, you're going to play a part.
Definitely. And so that's why I think self-reflection and don't be just like destroy yourself, like, you know, beating yourself up. But I really think, and Quinn and I will probably bring in quite a bit because we both, Quinn is finished. I'm halfway through David Goggins' new book, The Never Finishing. But we've also read his first book, which is Can't Hurt Me. And we've brought up in multiple podcasts about the self-reflection mirror.
Accountability mirror.
The accountability, yes. And talking about how you can lie to yourself, but if you look at yourself in the mirror and you make eye contact with yourself, you can't.
Hey now.
Hey,
you're looking good.
Yeah. But
you're totally not looking in your 40s. You look 20.
You got years ahead of you. No, but I think that is so true of, you know, the first thing is to recognize you play a part.
You know, one thing that I really liked from the last book, Never Finished, is he took it a step further. So he had the accountability mirror, which, you know, he would have very frank That is my middle name.
Yeah, it is true.
Conversations with himself.
Well, that would be like I always call Quinn effing Brown. And people would be like, what? And I'm like, it's Quinn Frank Brown. Get your head, you know. Yeah.
Come on.
Come on, it's Frank.
But anyway, he took it a step further by saying he would carry around a tape recorder. And whenever he would go on a rant about like somebody else or where he was feeling down, he would rant into his tape recorder and then he'd listen to it back. And he did it with one of his friends.
Yeah,
he tells a story with one of his buddies that every time we got together, he was either complaining about his wife, his job, you know, somewhere where he got slighted. And then so what he did without him knowing is he recorded it. And then he said, hey, dude, I want you to listen to this back. And his buddy was like, dude, I'm not that guy. And it like shocked him so much that it shocked him out of it. And he was like, I never want to do that again.
Yeah. And I thought that was such a powerful thing. And it's so at work, we are as a coach, I am reviewed every month. And every once a quarter, they do it where it is the GoPro record your own class and have to review yourself. And I literally, like every time it comes around, I'm like, oh, I got to watch myself. But I will tell you every time I do that, that is where
you're like,
hey, now, no, but I will say that is where I hear resounding things that I need to work on. Right. But when I have stopped and I've recorded and watched and have that reflection and I'm like, oh, why am I cringing at myself? It's because I'm like, I'm realizing things that are my faults that I'm looking at going, oh, I want to do better. And I'm not saying to carry around and video yourself or if tape recording, that works great. But the first step in learning any lesson, if you fail, the first thing after you lick your wounds, have your moment, lick your wounds, and then say, okay, I'm going to dissect where it went wrong.
Yeah.
Or what part did I play? Did I not study enough? Did I not put enough heart in my relationship? Did I not listen when my spouse or my partner was talking or my kids shut me out? What am I doing? Am I lecturing them all the time or and not stopping and listening? Am I really listening to what they're saying?
No, for sure. For sure. And I think it is, you know, to take it a step further,
are we going back to the duck?
Ducky Momo.
Yeah.
She was such a cute duck.
She was such a cute duck.
Even though she got eaten by the wolf.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell them if they've never seen Peter and the Wolf.
I think the spoiler's out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But I don't know what it is and why we have a tendency as adults to want to be right so often or want to almost, like Megan said, hang on to the things that like drag us down, that we don't want to find the lesson in it. It's easier to either vilify somebody. It's either easier to vilify your spouse or it's easier to vilify your job or it's easier to vilify your neighbors or whatever versus trying to learn a lesson.
Well, and so I have been lately reading a lot of like autobiographies, memoirs, self-help. Yeah. But I will say every time, right? We love telling stories about like Michael Jordan, or all these different athletes. And the resounding thing over and over is they overcame failure. And it was because in every single one of these stories, it wasn't that they were like told, you know, it's as controversial as it is, Tom Brady, right? He was told like at the combine that he was too slow.
Yeah. Well, and then he sold his soul to the devil.
But if you see videotape of his combine, you're like, wow, he's not like on paper. He's not a great athlete. And so you look at all these people and there were so many times that they were told that they should fail, walk away. And they're people that we celebrate and look at, but they used it as a moment of, okay, I'm going to self-reflect. Okay, maybe it means that I need to be training harder in the gym. Maybe it needs, you know, and we always come back to the sports analogy because that's a way of people pushing their body. But it's, I think a lot of times we hold back of pushing the mental part of it of saying, okay, the only part of me truly failing at whatever it is not sitting back, self-reflecting and learning the lesson. and then coming back and being stronger, right?
Yeah. And I do think too, sometimes learning that lesson causes you to walk alone or causes you to leave maybe your safety net of the people that are around you, because it may be that that group that you're with does never wants to learn that lesson. You know, it could be that it's a perpetual cycle of pity, self-pity of, oh, I can't do this. I can't accomplish this, or I can't afford this, and blah, 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 blah. And here's the why, here's the why, here's the why. And it may be the kind of thing that you look at it and go, okay, well, if I'm the problem and I need to find the lesson in what I'm doing, then maybe these people are holding me back from getting there, or they're trying to drag me down so I don't find that lesson.
Yeah. And there's always going to be people that are going to be negative, or they're going to point out the failures.
Or there's always people that will be an echo chamber to your own BS.
Yeah. Like they'll be it. And one, I just finished Andre Agassi's book, Open, and great book. He is an amazing human. But one of the things that stood out amongst everything in the whole entire book was that there was a part where his trainer turned to him and said, it is time to stop dreaming with your eyes closed, to open them. And he said, part of that is, you know, you're going to have to work hard, but it's opening your eyes and truly seeing where you want to go and the bumps along the way. It's like, you're going to fail, but learn the lesson and move on. And that's where you're going to get stronger and better and, you know, better at the game. And one of the reasons why I love the book so much was we all know he was an amazing tennis player. Like in our generation, we all, you know, even if you weren't big into tennis, know who he is. Is he had the biggest thing that he overcame was his own mental game, you know,
how so?
Meaning that in his head is he looked at failure at the beginning and to the point where he detrimented his game because he focused only on the fact that he was a loser. And it wasn't till he realized that he, you know, was to look at just what he's doing right in front of him and take it one step at a time and learn from it. Like, be like, okay, this isn't the last time you're going to play this person. What are you going to learn for the next time you're going to come?
So this
or his trainer would go, okay, I watched you. Now you ran out of stamina. So, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to learn from it and use that to kind of fuel and to learn from those failures.
Okay. So this is super annoying. but I want to challenge our audience to do this. We do this and it's super annoying when you're in the situation that you just want to like vent. But Megan and I, and we do the same thing with our kids. So let's say I come home. I have a terrible day about something. I set off and I'm like, I want to vent here for a second, like a volcano mm-hmm. off gassing composite cone of sorts. So it doesn't blow its lid. Yeah. Right. So, I'm going to off gas a little bit. I'm going to vent. And then Megan will say, what would you learn from this? And I'm like, that's not the point.
Kind of calling out.
Or she'll say, okay, well, what part did you have to play? And we do this with our kids too, where we'll let our kids like vent for a second. We're like, okay, what part did you play in this and what did you learn?
And there was parts where they would get in a fight with their friend and then they would just scream right back at him something mean. And I'm like, okay, I agree. That person was mean. But I was like, what part did you play? Because you can't control anybody else, but you could control what came out of your mouth.
But everybody else was.
Yeah. And you're like, okay. And the other thing I will say is we're all going to have negative thoughts.
We're
all going to have it. And one thing I will say, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but you know, having teenagers at times is really challenging, right?
No kidding.
Yeah. And so I read a lot of books, a lot of blogs, a lot of things, like spending a lot of sleepless nights reading, you know, just kind of like how to help your teenager. And I was like, wow, I'm at that point in my life. How do I communicate? How do I, you know, kind of try to spin things into positivity? And one of the things that really helped was because everybody wants to feel validated to a point, right? As they said, your teenager gets in the car, kind of in your mind, give a set time. Be like, okay, I'm going to let him vent for 2 or 3 minutes, whatever. And then stop and be like, okay, well, what positive? You know what I mean? And like, so you're not invalidating what they said. It's like you coming home saying, hey, can I vent? And then turning around and saying, okay, well, what did you learn? Or like, what positive things can we see from this situation? And it's not taking away me immediately saying, wow, way to be negative, Quinn. You know, it's saying, okay, I see you. That sucks. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
You know, like it's like with our kids being like, my teacher sucks. They did this. They did that. Like I'm failing this class and blah, 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 blah. And you'd be like, oh man, that is so hard. Okay. What's our game plan? And they're like, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to my teacher. I'm going to, you know what
I mean? Is your homework turned?
Yeah. And immediately I'm like, and I always use the word we, even though it's, I'm just the sounding board is we are a team. It's not just you, you know, kind of like, what are we going to do about it? What's the game plan? Like, let's walk through, let's like get bullet points out. Like, what are we going to learn? How are we going to work through this? And I always tell my kids, I'm like, I graduated with my BS in communications and I do feel in school, you learn a lot, you're being educated, but a lot of times it's learning how to BS and work the system to be able to ask questions, to learn how to fail and realize that not all is gone. Not all is lost. It's, I think like with college, the biggest thing is learning how to pick yourself up and say, okay, what did I learn? Okay, how am I going to work through this?
Yes. And I think a huge lesson to be taken from that, and this is probably the hardest one to swallow, is your culpability in a situation. Because I think it's very easy to sit there and maybe you're in a relationship you should never be in. And then that relationship fails. And then you're like, I should have never been in it in the first place. And I knew better. Or maybe you took a job and you're like, I had the spidey sense going off all over the place and knowing I shouldn't have done it, but I did it because it was flashy. And
I think the biggest thing is we all find ourselves in situations where you're lured in, you're baited in or whatever. Is I think the lesson to learn is even sit down with a piece of paper. And at that moment, like I know journaling is such a big thing for your mental state, but if it's some way of writing it down of, you know, like how you ended up in that and things that you can learn, like, you know, just so that you're not either baited back into that situation or, okay, these are boundaries I'm going to set for myself or whatever it may be, just so that, you know, looking in the future, you know, it's just like if you're playing a sport, it's so that you don't make that, you know, mistake over and over again. It's looking at it saying, okay, like I'm going to learn from this mistake.
I'm going to say something and this is going to sound really wise.
Okay, better be because you just sold the crap out of that. I'm like, okay, woo.
You have to create a process.
Mm-hmm.
In order to process.
Yes.
So meaning, you know, if you're sitting there looking at your situation you're in, right? And if we're talking, you know, the podcast is, you know, find the lesson, right? If you approach every problem or every bad thing with that in mind of saying, okay, I have to find the lesson. Well, then you can deconstruct it. And as Megan said, deconstruct it and say, okay, what part did I have to play? Okay, well, I did this, this, and this, and this. Okay, what could have I done better? Bum, 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 bum. What did I do really good? Okay, here's a few things. What did I do really bad? And so at that point, you've created a process. So when something terrible happens or something really good happens, you can break it down and process what just happened and what just occurred.
And that's like with the journaling or writing it down is a way that you can reflect. Because a lot of times when you're sitting in those feelings, at the time you're like, I'm never going to forget this. You know, like I'm having this profound thought. And then it's like 3 weeks down the road, you're like,
You're like, I had a really profound thought.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I was like, okay. So that, like, honestly, it's really important to, like, write down and to journal your thoughts and that and write down your process. And that could be for the positive things in your life. Like if your relationships are going great, then write down why, you know, like what is it that you're doing? And that way, when you're like, oh, when the going gets tough, you can look back and be like, yeah, you know what? That's where that hole in my relationship is, because I've stepped away from doing that. And so I need to bring that back. And the same thing with work. It doesn't have to. I think we always look at it as like the lesson always has to be when it's bad.
Yes.
And I mean, we are talking about, you know, learn from failure, but
you can also learn a ton from positivity. It's like,
why is it that someone that's super successful, you go to them and you're like, what's your process?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even like, it's like, if I've eaten like crap, right? And let's say I feel like crap because I've eaten like crap. I'm like, I know the process and what I need to eat to feel better. And I know I'll lose weight. I know I'll feel better. I know I'll sleep better. I know all of the above. And I'm like, okay, I can implement that process because I've had a success with it. I've won with it. I know how to do it. And so it's that way. Or it's like, I know that if I'm feeling sluggish, I'm like, I need to learn. And I know that I know that process. And so if you understand your wins, then, you know, it'll be like, we always, you know, we win, and then we go off track and we lose.
Do you win no matter what? You don't get the song reference.
No.
I like to win no matter what. No. Okay. Okay. No, just keep going.
What was no, that? 78 or like?
Okay. Just keep going.
You lost me after about 98.
And the hands go up and they stay there.
Stay where?
Up, down. Oh my gosh.
No.
Oh my God. I'm going to find this. Hold, just keep talking. Oh gosh. He's old.
Oh my gosh. No, it's, I do not know which artiste uttered such, okay. Yeah, I've heard that song.
Yeah, you've heard that song. Thank you.
Yes.
There we go. Thank you, Spotify, for allowing me to bring my husband up to speed.
So Steely Dan didn't write it, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't even know how to pronounce the name, so we're just kidding.
It wasn't Supertramp?
No, keep going. Win, 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 no matter what.
Okay, so you're taking your lessons that you learn. And then you're taking your failures. So, A, you need to understand how you're going to process those things. But B, don't be afraid to share those. And I know, I'm in a unique role with work, with sales, that you're always training, right? You're always trying to get better. You're always trying to learn. And so we're constantly talking about failures and wins. And we're always talking about lessons that are taking from it. But I can remember, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but we got ran over by a bulldozer during the recession. A lot of people had it worse, but for us, it was probably our first biggest struggle that we've ever had.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can remember one time, we were talking to some people and my dad was there and we were telling him, we had to short sell our house because, pay got cut and, jobs, blah, 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 blah. You guys heard us talk about it before. And I remember my dad saying like, well, we got in the car and he was like, I would keep that story to yourself. And our whole point of telling that story and to the person that we were telling it to was, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. And we will talk about it. And now we giggle and laugh and we tell it like, because there's so much that we learned. I mean, we look at it now and we're like, dude, that freaking sucks. Well,
you know what I hate about that though?
What?
Is you hear and like, you read a self-help book or whatever. And I'm going to say the same thing on this podcast. So somebody's going to be like, go pound sand, dude.
Yeah.
Is like when people say, I went through the hardest experience and I learned so much and I wouldn't trade it for the world. I'm like, whatever, dude. Like,
yeah. And that's what I'm saying is we learned a lot. I would never want to go back. Never want to do it.
No, my point is what they're saying is right. Like you do learn.
Yes.
You get a master's degree in that.
Yeah. And I feel like our master's was digging out of a big hole together. And I think also at a young age, it was like, you know, kind of we had built our little empire to being like, okay, can we go get a Diet Coke? You know, do we have enough change?
Well, let's go in the piggy bank.
Yeah.
Let's
get the kids. And so, but the thing is, looking at it, it's, you know, kind of open your eyes more to appreciate, you know, the small things. Like, oh, I don't have to pay a double deposit to get my water turned on at our house because you know, just certain things like, you know, we're awesome.
But I will say finding the lesson in that is you've experienced it. You've gone through it. And I had a mentor of mine once tell me, he said, hey, one of the best things you can do is go to your grandparents or go to somebody who's at the end of their career or is retired and say, what's the greatest thing you learned in your career? What's your biggest failure too? And I remember I asked my grandpa that. And it was interesting, you know, getting that perspective from him. And it caught him off guard.
Yeah, like,
And I explained to him the why.
Yeah.
And, you know, what my mentor said is ask what their biggest failure was so you don't have to repeat it.
Yeah, I think the thing too, like kind of just going back to the recession, not that we want to stew on that, because like I said, is Quinn and I have learned a lot, but we talk to our kids about it. Like it's, they know, like, it's like one of those where like, oh, we were so stinking poor, you know, and whatever. But the biggest thing that we talk to them about is, you know, like, hey, we don't have any regret in that situation because we would have never known. And, you know, part of it was, I was like, we put our heads together and we worked hard to dig our way out of it and just look at it in life of being like, yeah, a lot of people will look at it. And there are a lot of people at that time that looked at us like a failure. Like, I remember we were renting a house. We had three kids and our neighbor came over and he was like literally 15 years younger than Quinn. And yeah, he was, and
it
like,
was, it wasn't the, I mean, it was an okay house. It wasn't like we were renting this.
No.
Yeah, it was very much so like a starter.
Yeah, and Quinn came in and he was like, wow, I feel less of a man because that guy, you know. But it's the kind of deal we tell our kids all the time. We're like, you are going to have moments where you're going to fall. And
you're going to have moments where you're like, this sucks. And even though I did everything right on paper, something happened.
Yeah. And so the biggest thing, like I said, is I feel like, you know, talking about it and being open and learning from it is our kids hopefully will see like, go try things. You will fail and you can pick yourself up.
And
it's all how you do. If you focus and let it, you know, be your go-to, it's your crutch. It's the thing of, I can't do this because this happened. And if that, you let that define you for the rest of your life, then yeah. But I mean, you can look at it and put your head down hard and be like, this sucks. I'm having to work extra hard or whatever it may be. But eventually it will get better.
Well, and you're finding the lesson. And I do feel that having gone through all of that with Megan and I going and lucky for us, we kind of started this early in our marriage about trying to find the lessons in things. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, weren't able to stay together through that because the stress has got too high.
And I remember one time, one of Quinn's, like, you know, family friends, we were telling them about everything and they were like, and how did that put a lot of stress on Quinn and you? Because they're like, I'm surprised at how strong you guys are together. And it almost took us both back because it was one of those that we've always been like, we're in this together. There's a lot that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like looking back being Whoa. Like, yeah.
Well, and that, so if you read that David Goggins book that we were talking about, Never Finished, one of the points he brings up is if you read his first book, it's almost hard to stomach the first couple chapters because he was,
it's so hard
because there was a lot of child abuse in his past. And, in his new book he wrote, he talked about how he went to meet his father, like he hadn't seen him in like 20 years or whatever. And he's like, I could have left with every excuse in the world why I could never succeed, how all the cards were stacked against me and how I made it out and that was my only success. Or I could go on and become great and not let this define who I am. And so I, you know, I've had some buddies go through some crappy things, and my advice to them always is, you know, you can walk around with your issues like a scar on your face that you want everybody to ask you about. And you want them to ask you just so you can say, I have this because of this, this, and this. And it's funny because, I shouldn't say it's funny, but this generation, all like the younger generation, it seems like everybody has something that they want to identify as to the reason why they can't. That's what drives our kids nuts too, because we're like, well, that's great you have that, but guess what? You know, you have to deal with life. So I feel like, you know, there's that where people want to tell you their life story, and we've all been there and we've done this. So it's not that we're immune to this. We're not great by any means. So
yeah, because you get pulled.
We've pulled in and we've wanted to tell our life story as to the why we couldn't do things as well. But in all reality is, instead of wearing that scar around, all of a sudden you change the narrative on it where you have learned from your lesson. So somebody says, oh, you have a scar on your face. You're like, oh yeah, I got nicked. And then you just move on.
Yeah.
Or guess what? Yeah, I learned a really important lesson from blah, 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 blah. And you tell them like, okay, yeah, I got this scar, but I learned a really important lesson. And this is what, you know, wear safety protection around a grinder, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Like, but the point being is, you know, ask yourself, what are the scars that you carry around that you want to tell everybody about? Because everybody has a go-to scar. We all do.
And it's the, you know, it's either, you know, you don't have enough confidence to get up and speak in front of people, or...
So you say, I got made fun of once and I just, it's too hard for me.
Yeah. And so a great story, speaking of that, and it's kind of ironic now of what I do. Is so, and I'm telling you this story because I want you to see it in full term. But when I was in fourth grade, we read Where the Red Fern Grows, right?
Yeah. Little Ann and Little Dan.
Yeah. And there was a part where we were reading in groups and my teacher was like, hey, I'm going in the hall. And we had to like take turn, like one person read like a page, the next person and went around. And there was this girl in my class. She was very smart. And she, as soon as the teacher, it was my turn to read. And I was very shy and I read and she made fun of me and everybody laughed, right? So fast forward to meeting Quinn. And I was like terrified. I remember just being like, I don't speak in front of people. Wait.
You said fast forward to meeting Quinn.
No.
I was terrified.
I guess that wasn't a good transition.
Was that when
yeah,
I was
I
like,
was scared.
It puts no. the lotion on or yeah, it gets yeah. the hose?
No. Okay, so that's fourth grade. And then fast forward.
It wasn't fifth grade that I met you.
No, fast forward to the age that I met Quinn.
Okay.
And so when I met Quinn, I remember having conversation. And I was like, yeah, I don't speak in front of people. I don't. And I let that be my crutch, telling myself, I can't do things. I can't. That is not me. That is not the person that I am. I, you know, because I literally let that define me, where if I was in a group of adults.
So you're saying that you got the scar as opposed to learning the lesson.
Yes. In fourth grade. Cause I even in my 20s was like, I can't read or speak in front of people because of this experience. And so for my major, I had to take a public speaking class, and literally I feel like every human being should take a public speaking class, because I literally, the week that I knew I had to speak, I'd feel like I was going to throw up like the whole week. And I got up and I've told my kids this, I'm like, I was terrified. I had to read in front of people. Here I am, like, you know, going back, flashbacks of Little Ann, Little Dan, you know, going on.
Kid tripping on the hatchet, yeah, dying out,
yeah,
in the woods.
And anyway, it was the kind of deal that I was like, okay, through this class, it got slightly easier. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And then when I got into fitness, I wanted to earn some extra money. And so we were at spin class, cycling class, and Quinn's like, I really think that you'd be great at being a cycling instructor. And I was like, no, I can't be in front of people. I have nothing to say. And I have told you, I am terrified. That's not me. Right. So again, like still going back to this like moment. And then finally I was like, okay, I'm going to face that fear. And I did it and worked through it and kind of just learned the lesson of the point was kids are dumb. Like that should have been my lesson in fourth grade and just moved on.
Yeah. They were just being mean. It wasn't that you couldn't read or anything like that.
Yeah. It wasn't that I couldn't read. It wasn't that I wasn't good at being in front of people, but I let that define my self-confidence, everything to the point. And now I tell people, people come and they're like, hey, you're a coach. You're always on a microphone. You're talking to people.
You got like a super awesome podcast.
Yeah. We have a podcast and I love speaking in front of people. It is one of the things that I'm like, I love to do. And they're like, when I tell them that I'm like, no, I was terrified. It was my failure until I learned the lesson. And the lesson was, okay, I got to work on it. It's just like anything else. And then once I worked on it, I was like, wow, I got to let go of that trauma of, you know, that I probably should reread the book, you know.
It's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
It's a little heavy, Carl.
But anyway, like I said, that is a really crazy story. But I mean, now it's ironic because how I make my living is in front of people speaking. And I used it as a crutch, like up well into my 20s until I literally had to like look at myself and say, I can do this. And that person in fourth grade is not going to define who I am. I never learned the lesson.
Well, and so look at your lives, right?
It's pretty awesome.
Listening audience that's tuning in. I'd like to say you're a very elite group of people.
Good looking.
You guys are crushing it. Just absolutely crushing it. But look at your life and say, what? Okay. So you hear Megan's story, right? And you hear fourth grade and Megan is 42. So fourth grade, 42. That lesson in fourth grade, that what happened to her affected her up into her early 20s. What are things that we have like in our F word years? And the thing is, and I'm not obviously demeaning what happened, but it's redonkulous.
No, it is. Redonkulous. And like I said, is I tell people that story, like, I was terrified and they're like, no, you weren't. Like literally people until I'm like, okay, let me tell you my villain origin story of the little fern, like where the red fern grows. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, it is a core memory that I let define me and hold me back from so many opportunities until finally. And I think it was you just being like, you're ridiculous. Like this, like where the red fern grows. Like it was, but it was like, it was one of those. I'm like, no, I'm a failure. I can't read. I can't do, you know, and I let it just become my identity of who I was.
Yeah. And I know there's deep seated trauma that people have gone through,
but
there are things that are as ridiculous as reading out loud where the red fern grows, that something happened at a certain age in your life and it just becomes a trigger. And all of a sudden, instead of learning from that lesson and growing from it and being like, you know what? I'm going to be the kid. I'm going to be the person that stops anybody who starts making fun of somebody or whatever, you know, learning a lesson from it. Also, you let it define you. And I guarantee, I mean, you know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head right away, but I guarantee we all have things that go back to a ridiculous moment in our life that we still let define who we are.
For sure.
Which is, how crazy is that?
So crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And when you boil it down that way, it is just insane. So here's the challenge.
Let's hear it.
Find the lesson. So if there's a scar that you've been wearing that you like to tell everybody about, or it's your go-to crutch, you know, it's your go-to, the reason why I can't or whatever, ask yourself, what lesson was I supposed to learn from that? And have I learned that lesson?
Well, and I think the only way that you truly, truly, truly fail or cheat yourself. I'm even going to go as far as to say cheat yourself
or live not nearly as a fulfilling. My English is terrible tonight. As you're not getting the fulfillment out of life that you deserve. Yes.
And the only way that happens is by not learning the lesson, being willing to listen to yourself, listen to others, and that in the a growth. Because if you're not growing, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards in everything in life. Like everything that you do, you should be wanting to be propelling forward. And even if you're like, man, this feels like a step back, don't look at it and say, man, I'm going to face myself. I'm going to face that fear and I'm going to come back stronger. And I'm going to, you know, and that's why with athletes or, you know, you even have like CEOs that tell their story and everybody's so inspired, but they've never, these inspirational stories never come without so-called failure. They've just taken
or a little pain.
Pain, failure, but they have taken it and they've learned it and fueled it and come back stronger.
Okay. Here's another thing. I don't want to keep going on a tirade here, but, one of the triggers I should say for Megan and I is with our kids and we both do it too. And we both do it out of like lack of self-confidence. I think when it happens is when somebody legitimately sees you doing something wrong and tries to correct your course. And you say, I know.
Oh.
And, or it's like, it's even like with our son, you know, we go skateboard or we take him skateboarding and you can see we're recording it. We play it back for him. You can see exactly.
Yeah. Because there's been time we've learned, yes. Right? We would go, for example, and I would tell my son, hey, I think that this is what you need to do to tweak this. Yeah, and he'd be like, I know. And so now I start recording it. And I'm like, I want you to show me where you think.
Well, there's been times
you need to switch it up.
There's been times with our girls where we, you know, we're trying to teach them something and they're like, I know. And Megan has said to them, is that what you tell your teachers when they're trying to teach you something? And there's been times like in our marriage where I think out of just like lack of self-confidence and wanting to be right, you know, you're like, no, I know that already, or I know, or it's like an instant snap back because you don't want to know, right? You don't want to because you want to seem right. And it's just at that point, you're learning no lesson. It's like Megan telling me I need to stop grunting every time I sit down or stand up.
I've been working on gentle ways of having that conversation.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm working on it.
But I love him dearly.
It's you don't recognize you're doing it till you're till you're
till your spouse is like, well, let's talk about this. Yeah.
Takes a bit to get a diesel engine going.
Yeah, true. True.
Well, everybody, I need to go to bed.
Yeah. Our kids are running around upstairs. We can hear them. It's like they're dropping bowling balls upstairs. So yeah.
All right, everybody. So episode 61, learn that lesson, man. Take something away. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please share and pass along with a friend.
Stay classy.